Next up on the show, we're going to hear from Eva Lewis, an independent media maker based in Southern Arizona. Since 2006, she has lived and worked creating media in many conflict and post-conflict zones. For the past 6 years, she has been based in Arivaca, Arizona, a community on the U.S.-Mexico border where she is involved in local struggles to provide crisis relief and organize for border demilitarization. She's also the director of Undeterred, a documentary film about community resistance to all the militarization and policing going on in the border zone and the history of the current border crisis. Now, here's the old mole's Jan Hocken to talk with her.
Welcome to KABU, Eva Lewis.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're the director of Undeterred, a documentary that is premiering here in Portland on Thursday, and we'll be letting listeners know more about how they can come to that event later on. This is a film that came out of local struggles along the U.S.-Mexican borders, and I've seen the film and found it riveting. It covers a tragedy that is horrifying and heartbreaking, but also inspiring and hopeful in tone. Can you talk about how you would capture the basic story of the film and also how it came about?
Well, so the film sort of tracks the buildup of enforcement along the U.S.-Mexico border and how much things have changed since the 90s with the implementation of the strategy known as prevention through deterrence. And it tracks that story through looking at the town of Arivaca, where I live, which is a very small rural community. And so it just sort of tells the story of how those changes in that policy have really affected the residents here in town and how it has really changed life here. And then at the same time, it tries to tell the story of how the community has organized to push back. So we have, in 2013, we started a campaign to remove the Border Patrol inland checkpoint, which is on the road in and out of our town. It's about 25 miles north of the border. And the film sort of follows the story of that campaign and the community organizing to push back against this policy of prevention through deterrence, which is policing and surveilling our community and also causing those trying to cross the border to die.
Many people are aware of the militarized border, and of course the horror and the inhumanity of it has erupted and broken into political consciousness for many people. And your film traces a history of this that certainly predates the Trump administration, but it also takes up these checkpoints that I think many people are not familiar with, what's called the border lands or the border zone, which implies something that extends far beyond the border itself. Can you talk some about the checkpoints, because that is an important site of resistance in the film itself?
Absolutely, Jan, yeah. The thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that the border has been continuously being militarized really since the late 80s. If you look back, you know, 30, 40 years ago, there was no, I mean, it was an open border. People would go back and forth. There were no checks. It was like towns like Nogales, which are on both sides of the border, really just people would walk across from one day and go back that same day, and they didn't have to stop. It was just two different sides of a street.
So this is part of a not so recent past that conservatives call the far left politics of open borders now that progressives assume. But you're saying
right. That
is a recent history, and that's important to retrieve that history.
Oh, absolutely. And I think so. The checkpoints are a part of that people are not aware of, because it has been this continuous blocking off. So first they put the walls up in cities and towns that people normally would cross through. Like I mentioned, the example of Nogales, which is a city that's on both sides of the border. So they put up walls and they blocked off these traditional ports of entry, but they left open the more rural, remote areas. So sort of funneled people crossing through those areas around the walls, because now people could no longer get through traditional ports of entry. And then they sort of expanded that, so it would be you would have to walk out of a city a few miles to get around the wall to where the wall ends, to have to walk through. But then they started putting up surveillance towers further inland, and then they started putting up checkpoints further inland. And some of these checkpoints are as far north as 100 miles north of the border almost.
And what happens at the checkpoints? Because that's a pretty riveting part of the film where you had footage of people being stopped at checkpoints.
So the checkpoints have a number of effects. So one is sort of this point of that in terms of people crossing the border, they have to walk much, much further to get around these checkpoints. So it extends the geographical scope of the area that people are walking through, and they're having to walk 60, 70, 80 miles to get around these inland checkpoints. So I would say that that's probably the most dire effect in terms of causing more death and suffering in people who are crossing into the U.S. without papers. And in terms of local residents, it also has a very damning effect because these checkpoints are military-style checkpoints with agents who are armed to the teeth, who are rotated frequently so they don't get to know the residents in border communities. And they sort of treat everyone who lives in the borderlands with suspicion. And there's no real accountability for the U.S. Border Patrol, I would say. Most incidents, and the ACLU has proved this with FOIA requests that they've done, most incidents of like abuse of power or harassment or assaults by agents to individuals who are driving through the checkpoints, even if they do get reported to Border Patrol, do not then get reported to congressional oversight committees. So there's a lot of impunity that these armed agents are acting with at these checkpoints, and they've done things. They pull people out of cars, they assault people. There's rampant racial profiling in terms of people who are Latino or people of color. Indigenous folks are much more likely to be detained for longer, pulled into secondary inspection. And these checkpoints, I mean, so the community where I live, Aravaca, which is the community featured in the film, it's a very small community. We have one store, but if you want to go to a bigger grocery store, or if you want to go see a movie at the movie theater, or go to the hardware store, you have to leave town. Kids on their way to school, they have to leave town because there's no school in our community. It's on the other side of the checkpoint. So that means that every day, a lot of folks who are driving to work, kids who are going to school, have to stop at these checkpoints. And so that means every day you're being forced to answer to an armed agent about your citizenship. And that's assuming that the agent follows protocol and only asks you about your citizenship. But we know that more often they will ask many, many questions. And like I say, sometimes be physically violent with people and just harassing generally.
Has the dynamic changed beyond just intensifying the violence and the aggressiveness of the repression and militarizing at the border? From you shot footage and followed this story over a period of a couple years and completed the film, it looks like about a year ago, something like that, and now people are very aware of the horrors at the border. How would you assess the current situation as it departs from what you convey or capture in the film? I mean, the dynamics seem to be very much the same, but how would you see the current situation as departing from what you capture in the film, you and your team captured and the community captured in the film?
I mean, I think we've definitely seen an intensifying of the border crisis under the Trump administration. The detention system has expanded, deportations have expanded, which of course leads to more people trying to come back across to reunite with their families and so forth. And with the deployment of the military and the National Guard to the border, we've seen a lot more agents in the field. One of the ways that the Trump administration has gotten around posse comitatus, which is the law saying that the military cannot be deployed on U.S. soil for leasing purposes, is that they've had the military and the National Guard take over sort of administrative posts within the Border Patrol. But that frees up then those Border Patrol agents who are doing those administrative tasks to be policing in the field. So it has led to an increase in enforcement in our communities in the borderlands. And so there has definitely been an intensifying. I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize, though, is that all of this is a continuation of policies that did already exist. When the child separation first and the family separation first really hit the news cycle, people were saying, oh, well, this is about deterrence. But many in the news media were not drawing the connection that ideology of using deterrence, using suffering, human suffering as a deterrent, is actually a policy that's been around since 1994, and that it is much more than just family separations, but it's actually the logic behind these checkpoints. It's the logic behind the walls that already exist in ports of entry along the border. And so that logic of using death and suffering as a deterrent, which is completely immoral, I mean, as anybody who thinks about it can see, that has been around since the 90s, and that all of these sort of deepening or worsening conditions are just extensions of that policy, really.
And I think that's one of the benefits of a thoughtful film, as you and your team have created here, is that you have more space to draw people into a deeper understanding, analysis, and history of a problem than what erupts on the news and stirs moral horror and outrage, and it comes as a news flash. And what you convey so powerfully in this film is that this has a long history. It's intensified now, but perhaps also with the awareness of this and the moral outrage and kind of the shifting political sympathies and exposure of how morally numb these border guards have become around this, many of them. Do you see this as a hopeful time in that sense too, that the larger public not directly affected outside the Latinx community are more aware of this, and that there's a shift in political support for migrants at the border and demilitarizing of the border?
I would say that I see now as a time of opportunity. I don't know if I would say it's hopeful, because there's a lot to not be hopeful about right now, but I definitely think that there is an opportunity. We are seeing absolute human horrors that are unfolding in the borderlands via the immigration policy that this country is implementing right now, and I think that is horrific, and it also presents an opportunity that every single person in this country has the chance to decide what kind of person they are going to be in times like this.
It's a political border in terms of what side are you on here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can sort of decide, are we going to be the good Germans who let the camps unfold and said, well, there's nothing I can do? Or are you going to get involved in a local group that is resisting in some way and push back against these policies in some way? And I mean, the truth of the matter is that the border is not just in the borderlands. It's certainly very intense in the borderlands, but there is a border in this country in every single state.
State of mind as well as a concrete material boundary. Well, our listeners can hear more and learn more from this fabulous film, and I want to congratulate you and your team on this effort. The film is called Undeterred, and it'll be screening this Thursday evening, July 11th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Doors are open at 6:45 at the Ainsworth United Church of Christ, 2941 Northeast Ainsworth. And donations at the door will support the organization you're part of, People Helping People in the Border Zone. And we want to thank you so much for being with us here today, Eva Lewis, director of Undeterred. And we will hopefully be able to raise some support for your organization at our screening this week, as well as discussion about how we're all affected and morally called to respond to this crisis. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Hope the screening goes well.
I'm sure it will.